Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review SmackDown, but also Monday Night Raw, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week completes with a bloody quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to SmackDown tonight, and a show I sense that they are just going to probably spin their wheels on, because next week's the Royal Rumble go-home show.
Yes, happy January the 7th to you, Wilborn. I'm only joking. We wouldn't just put out the same podcast in the feed. It is, of course, January the 14th today, isn't it? Groundhog Day on this alleged best wrestling show. I love this job. As much, sometimes more than my own family. And I would never, ever complain about what is fundamentally a privilege as much as it is a line of employment. It is becoming a bit of a piss take from WWE that they preview and promote so little of a show that is clearly like more booked on the fly even than Monday Night Raw at this point, torn up hours before. $1 billion to get paid for the show. $1 billion. And I'm not complaining about having nothing from WWE other than recycled guff from the prior week. I am complaining on behalf of our podcast listeners who we've learnt this week like to listen to it on very long drives, mm-hmm. like to listen to it on workouts, during the cardio, during gaming sessions, during breaks from reporting on the stories from the highest office in world politics.
Yep.
We've got listeners everywhere, and I could not be more grateful for that. And it is on their behalf that I am annoyed that week on week on week, me and you come into a studio and basically have to clown for half an hour because WWE will not service us with the content that they're being paid $1 billion, billions and billions and billions of dollars to produce. It's fucking disgusting.
It is unbelievable as well, because you need to remember that they had even less time this year, because day one, normally they have between TLC and the Rumble, so that's at least a month.
Yeah.
They had less than a month because they had day one to kick off this year. So they only probably had, what, three, four episodes of Raw and SmackDown each. And yet Raw this week was just sort of there, and they went, yeah, well, we'll have the weigh-in next week. We'll try next week. And SmackDown, obviously, will have, I have no doubt, a sensational go-home show with, you know, all the people in the Rumble and, you know, people like Lita again doing great stuff on the show. And, yeah, the Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins thing's really going to be heating up by then. But this week, it does feel like, I mean, they've advertised one thing, two things, technically one match and one thing, which is a bit like what they did last week.
You know when the criticism is used, a copy of a copy of a copy, where they're just the quality declines each time. We're on at this point a fallout with a fallout with a fallout, aren't we? They've been doing day one fallout content on SmackDown since the 1st of January, and there is no end in sight until that go-home show.
So let's talk about the headline story for SmackDown, and that is, of course, Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins, Universal Championship at the Royal Rumble. Last week, Seth Rollins outsmarted, or just got out of the ring from the Bloodline, I suppose. One senses they are going to target him relentlessly this week and maybe get their hands on him.
Let's not beat around the bush. Last week's segment was piss poor.
It was awful.
Low energy, low effort, the worst of all things. Not only did they fail to capture the, well, the Shield nostalgia they'd promoted, but the Shield nostalgia that people felt, like the passion that people feel for one of the very few acts in the 2010s to get over on a level comparable to WWE's other successful projects. Not only did they fail to capture that, but they failed even really to hone in on the gap that theoretically should have opened up between Roman Reigns, the head of the table, and this wacky suit-wearing rodeo clown Seth Rollins, and instead used the invisible wall to an egregious effect. Seth Rollins slides out the ring when the Usos attack, as you say, points at his head and believes he's out. Points at his head, does a big laugh, and believes he's outsmarted, you know, the tribal chief, because ropes with cement walls in between them, not fresh air, separate the bloodline from Seth Rollins. This is a man, Seth Rollins, who was in a trio with Roman Reigns where they literally came from other points of the building to start their attack. And he's like, nah, 1-0 to the drip guard. Like, the dialogue was lousy. The payoff was non-existent. The feeling as SmackDown went off the air was dead.
Yeah.
Like, what an awful way for the show to go off the air. There was like, it was so anticlimactic for them to, it's one thing to book that segment and maybe put it in the opener or in the middle of the show. For them to believe that was worthy of a main event angle makes you believe that something was torn up beforehand. That was a lot.
I mean, it's a hell of a hook. I'll give him that. It is. I mean, it was piss poor, like you say, in terms of execution. But Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, face to face, you know, number one contender versus champion. I can't argue with that. That's main event. Stick around. That's happening later worthy. But have them do something rather than just trade slight crap barbs and then. I created you. Well, I did like God mode. I will say that. I'm in God mode now. I just love everything Roman Reigns says, basically.
Sorry to turn your own phrase against you, but a hell of a hook is Hook. This was like this was like promoting Hook and delivering Goldberg's son. Like, it's just, I couldn't fathom how, as you say, like, it probably does deserve to be promoted as the main event of the show because people were excited for this. I couldn't fathom how what I assume was not the first idea, what we saw, was what was settled on as the last one. They probably binned several things and probably scrapped stuff. And this was what was deemed. Was it really the best? I was like, well, you made us tear the original ideas into so many pieces, we can't put them back together and maybe one of those was better. So we are stuck with this.
I've just figured it out. Picture the scene. Like you say, they're backstage 10 minutes before the bloody show starts or whatever. All 400 writers are there and they're just surrounded by scrunched up bits of paper that have just been rejected or torn up or whatever. And they're like, what are we going to do? We've got the drip god and god in a wrestling ring together, but we kind of don't really want them to get physical yet. We've got a couple more weeks of that, and maybe that happens tonight, for example. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? And one of them's just like, you know what? I can't do this. You know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave you. I'm walking out, okay? And I'll leave you guys to think about it. Wait a second. What did you just do? I stood up, I said, I'm gonna leave and leave you guys to think about it. And I tap my temple. Barry, write that down.
Barry.
Barry Beans. Chief Ryan.
I love him.
Yeah. I mean, they have to target him and get their hands on him at least. Well, what I was going to say, sort of coupling this into something else.
Barry Beans.
The tapestry that I weave on this SmackDown preview. What if this week... Shut up! I don't need your. Although they probably were trying everything.
Wait a minute,
Siri. How should I book the main event of the show?
You know, we used to have the Alexa problem. Obviously, now when you were still working at home, have you called your Apple Watch Tapestry? Is it like one of them sort of like you thought I'm gonna like a celebrity baby name? And Tapestry,
my dearest Tapestry, that described for me.
Keith, seriously.
So, look at this. What if Seth Rollins is isolated by the bloodline?
Yeah.
Roman doesn't want to get his hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
He's saving his energy for the Rumble. So he helps them, but the Usos have got him cornered effectively and they're going to kill him. When who should make the save but Seth Rollins' good buddies?
Give it to me.
The Viking Raiders, who are the number one contenders now.
Oh. Thought you were going to say Kevin Owens, so that once he's made the save, later on in the night he could bump into Sami Zayn and say why he's being such a jackass.
No. That's a Raw storyline, mate.
Yeah, fine. Seth Rollins and the fucking Viking Raiders versus the Bloodline. Like, I'd fine, like it, okay.
I will give you this. If you said to me, like early on in the show that happens, and he makes a save, and they go, right, main event, Rollins and the Viking Raiders versus Roman and the Usos, although we don't know that Roman's not going to actually tag in. He's just going to sit at ringside, probably. But the hook is not the match, obviously. It's what will Seth Rollins dress the Viking Raiders as? Tell you what, you've got at least one viewer who's hooked.
I mean, and let me tell you why. Because not only would that be a graphic that they would put up on the screen, sponsored by Progressive Insurance, it would be one of them segments where the Viking Raiders are in two wardrobes and Seth sat on a sofa, and we get that 80s film montage where they come out first in Viking gear and he says, and then they come back out in like the stuff that they got, one of them got married in when he married Sarah Logan, and Seth's like, and then they come out in literally Seth's suits that like they're bursting out of. There's buttons and there's bits of flesh and skin everywhere, and Seth Rollins is like, you are right. That's a big one, and they go out dressed like that. Yeah, fine. This is, I don't like to get bogged down. I might not have sounded like that last week when we whinged on about people giving us grief on Twitter, but I really don't like to get bogged down in the, I don't even know if they're bad faith artists so much as they are bad taste artists, and they've just got crap taste in wrestling. But the people that like would say that, say they promoted that graphic at the start of the show, and it's like tonight's main event, Seth Rollins and the Viking Raiders versus the Bloodline. Somebody definitely, without fail, would like tweet that graphic and say like, a dream six man, heart eyes emoji. It's not. It's a dream about a six man. And what I mean is, you can't pick your dreams. So you're just asleep and you happen to think of six men and it's these six. Nobody ever has asked for this. But out of sheer convenience that this marriage might offer, yes, Wilborn, I could see that as our impromptu main event.
The Viking Raiders is number one contenders. I like.
Fine.
The Viking Raiders versus the Usos, I really like, if I'm honest. I think they're going to produce an absolute banger. But the Viking Raiders got beaten by Madcap Moss and King Corbin about, what's his name? That's not his name anymore. Happy Corbin.
Happy Corbin, yeah.
Got beaten by them in like 4 minutes the other week.
The H stands for happy. Yeah, the Viking Raiders have yet to, this is the indictment of SmackDown of the week. There's always one. The Viking Raiders have yet to establish the level of momentum they reached when they were getting attacked by a bin monster.
Yes.
That's where we're at with the Viking Raiders push on SmackDown.
Jesus.
Yeah, like Dennis, I don't want to go off on a rant here, but like SmackDown is no good. And there was a point last year where there was a debate to be had about the quality of SmackDown. There was a point where there was like Roman Reigns remains this character that like everybody, sometimes myself included, have a lot of interest in. Sometimes a Roman Reigns segment goes incredibly well and like all of SmackDown feels elevated as a result. That happened a lot last year. It was also 2 hours. It was also the home of the likes of that ginormous Edge pop. It was once the home of the hottest long-term story in WWE, Dominic and Rey Mysterio. Like they lost that to the draft. Like foolish move from WWE. So there was once debates to be had about the quality of the show. It was like people that didn't like it versus people that did. Very rooted in subjectivity, and that's okay too. Mm-hmm. We're not there now. This is objectively crap. Like SmackDown, we say it all the time. SmackDown is worse than Raw. Like how the mighty have fallen. SmackDown is worse than Raw. It's an hour less than Raw. It's a harder watch unless you, as I know you do on a Saturday.
Oh yeah.
Can skip every entrance, can skip every video package, and can watch Roman Reigns' entrance on at least 2x speed when he's taking his time. Like beyond that, it is a time sink. We're going to talk about the one thing I know for a fact the two of us genuinely like, because one wrestler, as we always say in WWE, for the most part, just looks like he has good days at work, right? That's all you can hope for from the wrestlers you enjoy. And this guy, fresh off a new contract, fresh on putting some more money in the bank for his young family that he's got, is going to go to work and have some fun with it. Make lemonade out of the lemons.
Yeah.
But it's not enough. It's not enough for a two-hour billion-dollar wrestling show. The standards are pathetically low. Pathetically low. The dynamite that we rinsed and were rinsed for 2 weeks ago, million miles better than SmackDown. Like, by orders of magnitude. And that is both a preview of this week's show and foreshadowing what we're going to say in the review of it on Monday. I don't feel good about this. I'm in a blue hoodie right now. I'm repping the brand for those that can't see. And yet, I don't know. Like, I rarely say this because sometimes you invite the worst upon your doorstep. Tweet me, right? It doesn't even have to be in the podcast replies when we link this on Twitter. At Michael Hamflett, convince me that SmackDown is not trash on fire. Like, I welcome this conversation. I like Twitter for the conversation when it's a conversation. So let's have one about what it is that I'm missing about a SmackDown that apparently still deserves your attention, your credit, and your time.
Well, there you have it. The gauntlet has been laid down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's talk about the one thing they have actually advertised and booked for this show. That is a championship contenders match again between Charlotte Flair and Naomi.
Seen it.
And we all kind of know where this is heading because Charlotte Flair is entering the Rumble with the title and picking her opponent and maybe even potentially facing Lita, let's hope, at WrestleMania or something like that. So the question is not what happens in this match, but how will Sonya Deville screw Naomi? Because that's what's going to happen. But as long as she's wearing that jacket, Naomi can't touch her.
Remind me, a bit like a potato, because wrestlers can't really have carbs, can they? remind me, was Naomi in the list of entrants that Charlotte revealed to the Royal Rumble? Ooh. I apologise, I forgot to check. The reason I asked that is because if Naomi was to lose to Charlotte in this...
She is, because Sonya Deville threatened to kick her out.
Yes, right, okay. So she's in this contenders match against Charlotte Flair. And she can lose and theoretically be like, well, that's not ideal, but I'll go and win the Royal Rumble and I'll get my title shot at WrestleMania, thanks very much. And there's nothing you can do about that, Sonya Deville. If and when that happens, I expect Sonya Deville to be like, whoa, tough tits. I've replaced you in the Royal Rumble and here's your replacement. Here's some good booking coming. You ready for this?
Okay.
And here's your replacement. The music hits. It's Cameron, right?
Oh!
Spicy, yeah?
Yeah.
Like... I like, look, Naomi, I used to be, like, Sonya Deville gives it the big beans. I used to be a big fan of yours. You know, weren't we all huge fan-cadactyls? somebody call my mama. And then, you know, like, Cameron comes out, and Naomi has not only lost the contender spot to Charlotte Flair, Sonya Deville said, you didn't realise that there was more on the line than this. Sorry about your damn spot. And then you've actually got something to do in the, what, two episodes left before the Rumble?
One more.
Great. Like, go-home angle, Naomi has to fight her way back into the Rumble. She wins one of them mini battle royals. She pins Natalia because everybody's at it. I don't know. But like that becomes an angle. Like, Naomi has got to get back in the Rumble. They do a nice mini angle with Cameron on the show itself. Something like that. Be creative. You know, like, we're recording this, UK time, 10 in the morning. It's early hours in America. WWE has the resources and the time to listen to this podcast and pay to fly Cameron in for this angle that we've just talked into existence. So I'm using my own bit of force of willborn here to try and make SmackDown a bit more entertaining. Get on the phone, get her in. And the best thing about a Rumble is, for Cameron, is that it's throwing people over the top rope so she doesn't need to forget how to pin wrestlers. It's like, I think it's foolproof.
I would also like on this, I love that booking, by the way, we're not going to get better than that, but I also would like Postman Pierce this week to be like, because I know last week you said, the reason why I don't like Naomi is I've got a damn attitude. And I was like, sorry, what attitude? But also, I'd like Postman Pierce as one half of the power structure there to be like, sorry, there's quite a lot of people with pretty bad attitudes back there. I feel like you're really focusing on Naomi here.
It's again, we talk about, like, I don't mind if WWE insist on not comparing themselves to AEW. You know, like, it's because every... And I wouldn't if I was them either, because every comparison is unflattering. But that sort of stuff is when they should most be compared to AEW. That's when the spotlight should shine the brightest in their eyes, like a hard-boiled police like procedural. Because ultimately, saying I don't like this wrestler because they've got a bad attitude is the closest that WWE comes to the sporting emulation that AEW works hard to preserve. An authority figure is having, like football, we always use football's analogy, we're supporters of like clubs that tend to toil. And players,
well, speak for yourself.
Players with bad attitudes are typically problematic to the manager or to the coaching staff. And that becomes, well, what do you do with their skill versus their attitude? That's a genuine problem within sport. And in a program such as AEW, where there's a sporting emulation, I don't really want to say authority figure storylines, but that would be a logical one.
Yeah.
AEW is this place where we care about wins and losses and fighting fair and all that sort of stuff, and your attitude is proven problematic. In WWE, that framework hasn't existed for well over 20 years. So as you point out, Postman Pierce can say, well, so-and-so's got a really bad attitude. Sometimes authority figures encourage bad attitudes.
Happy Corbin tried to kill someone the other week.
Yeah, he tries to kill someone every year. He threw two people off a building in 2020. Like, the authority figures typically favour heels. What's the trait of a heel? A bad attitude. They've abandoned that logic for so long that Sonya Deville saying that is actually more illogical than if she just said, what's your problem with Naomi? Well, she relates to fans and I don't think I like these people. Like that would make more sense than what she said. And yet Postman Pierce just says, oh yeah, fair enough. Speaking of bad attitudes, Brock Lesnar. It's bollocks, man.
Yeah. And speaking of football, quick story to tell you. I'm lucky to be here for this podcast, to be perfectly honest today.
Okay.
Because the painter who was round at our house yesterday saw a scarf I've got in the back of my car. After I went to watch my beloved Chesterfield.
Do not tell me you put money in the Mansfield fans' pocket.
No, thankfully not. I went to watch my beloved Chesterfield against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Never heard of them.
And I'm not a huge fan of half and half scarves, but this is the 25 years since we'd played at a Premier League ground. Yep. So I thought, let's commemorate it with a nice Chesterfield versus Chelsea scarf.
One for the occasion. Yeah. Yep.
I had it in the back of my car, and the painter said, I saw that scarf in the back of your car. And he obviously hadn't looked at it and just seen sort of blue and light blue and went, Man City fan, are you? Almost punched him.
Oh, my God.
Almost punched him on the spot.
Aguero, no! Deck him.
Yeah. Charlotte Flair wins this, obviously. And do you know what I'd like? Let's just have Lita Decker again. I like that storyline. Keep that one going. That was good last week.
It was good, you know. And what I think was particularly good about that is, obviously, WWE always protect the legends, so Lita was likely to be in good hands and likely to be well used. But it's not a guarantee and it's not a safe bet. And I love Lita's star power. I love it a lot. Like, she glows like few women from her era, her and Trish and not many others, from obviously a period where, the women just, despite what the Ruthless Aggression documentary tells you, weren't always that looked after. I know, can you believe it? Lita has a definite glow and a definite star power, and they did preserve that last week. And what's great, and I don't mean to be critical, because why should she still have it? Wrestling's not a thing anymore. But you remember the 2018 Royal Rumble. She attempted the moonsault. It was white knuckle. It worked out. Mm-hmm. But, she's been retired. Yonks. It's okay. Like, it's absolutely fine to not be at the level that you once were. And Lita isn't. They obscured it. They just talked about how she's a legitimate threat to Charlotte because you never lose it. Experience counts for a lot. All that sort of stuff. That's what you do with legendary figures that can still physically go. That's all you need to do. I'd like to see more of that. I did wonder there just for a second if we've overthought this and Naomi actually wins and she's lined up two title shots and Sonya Deville's got to work overtime to try and take them both off for next week. But I don't think WWE think about things like that. The last thing they want to make is winners.
I was going to say, that'd be giving us a nice thing and it's really not the purview of
everyone's a loser. Everybody's
WWE.
A loser.
Right, fantastic news for Sami Zayn coming out recently. He has re-signed with WWE. Really hate the fact that word also spells resigned because it confuses me every time someone tweets about this sort of thing. But yes.
Because you're going, yes, he's resigned.
Look, I think, I don't know why people are kicking off so much about this. Whatever he's happiest to do, his mates stick around in WWE, it makes sense for him to stay. He's probably got a massive payday, fingers crossed off the back of it.
And he's released without notice.
He seems happy within WWE. And he presumably has got this ongoing Johnny Knoxville feud to look forward to. My campaign now he's re-signed with WWE for him to win Money in the Bank again starts. I will do it every year until he gets it.
Don't mind it, mate. Don't mind it.
But I sense another stunt show for Sami Zayn tonight. Last week didn't exactly go to plan.
No, I kind of loved and hated the stuff last week because it's... What was the segment on Raw that... like I didn't want to like, and it kind of forced me into it. It was the graduation thing with RK-Bro and Alpha Academy. Gable's delivery was fantastic. Orton in the cap and gown was like, they knew that would be like easy physical comedy, all that sort of stuff. And so that's my sports entertainment palate cleansed. And that's ended up happening through the force of Sami Zayn's work last week. The outfit plus the goobers that he had to push the trolley really got it over the line for me. And then what was genuinely quite sweet was that they orchestrated a way that Sami Zayn could take an enormous bump completely safely because he was bumping onto crash pads. It was ultimately, he got launched from the ring into what was effectively like more soft play than they have in NXT 2.0. Like, so I kind of welcome stuff like that. What about in tribute to one of the great Jackass sketches and the slide from one of our favorite Netflix documentaries? He's pushed in a trolley and they try and get him through a loop. And they use like Thunderdome magic to show, look, I did it earlier. I had to pre-tape it for health and safety. And then somehow they've digitally manipulated it. So he's gone on this loop-to-loop in a trolley. And then Boogs and Nakamura rock up and they're like, do it again. And then he has to do it live and he just gets three quarters of the way up and then stacks it.
Boom,
head and neck first.
I like that. I like that a lot. My idea was simply Boogs and Nakamura tricking him into going to a porta potty that explodes.
Great, yep. I mean, that's right in Vincent Mann's wheelhouse, isn't it?
It's right in Vincent Mann's wheelhouse. I'm fairly certain it's literally on the trailer for the new Jackass film, which is what all this is all about.
It was literally on the face of Kevin Owens when Braun Strowman locked him in one. Like, it's been done.
Don't forget, you two, you're here forever.
Do you remember, like, they've got a weird thing now, haven't they, where, like, they're not, for as big as they are on Boo, they're not actually big on Boo. It's got to be brown goo. Or in Kevin Owens' case, it was the blue cleaning fluid out the toilet. It was like he couldn't come out with shit on his face. It was like sort of, nah, toilet duck is fine. Like the PG like sponsors are okay with that. But God forbid you drop like three platefuls of shit on someone's face.
Plus, we're going to go and see a little family outing. Myself and the daddy boy is going to go and see the new Jackass film together. And I have to say,
I love that, by the way. I took, like, it was my son's birthday last week and we took him. He wanted to go to two films at two separate cinemas. He really likes going to cinemas. So one of the films was Clifford the Big Red Dog. The other film was Disney's Encanto. I can heartily recommend the second. I can sort of recommend the first if you like giant red dogs and the word bollocks in a kid's film. Like, that was me and my wife taking my two sons. I'm very excited for me and my fellow work dad to take our fellow work son to see Jackass. As if,
Dad,
like,
can I have a fruit shoot?
Yeah, we're going to buy you your popcorn. We're going to get you your fruit shoot. Like, you've gone above the PG age, and it's like, well, me and Cedric in the office, do you think he's old enough? Do you think he's emotionally mature enough to do this one? He's like, let's do it. And then after the first few weeks, as long as he hasn't copied it, we know we can take him to other ones. It's like, well, just one of them big parent moments between the two of us. But should we do a review? Should we see if we can sneak a Jackass review through?
Yeah. We'll just name it somewhere. No one will notice.
Just on the feed. Like we did 1 week. It's like, the Raw review. And it's like an hour long. And it's just us talking about our best bits from Jackass. Zero people complain.
No one snitched.
The only complaints we get is like, guys, there was no 5-star review. There's nothing boring enough to skip.
That should be the 5-star review. It's just us. Just skip the whole Raw.
Spoiler, Jackass was 5 stars.
Right. And the reason why I say this is, I just want them to do. I don't know why, because there's so many really creative and really like harsh and memorable things. The high five, the spring loaded hands.
Oh yes,
is my favorite thing. Just do it again. I know they've already done it on WWE. Do it again.
Wilborn, mind's just blown.
Go on.
What do people love more than their own family? Even more than What Culture Wrestling Podcast? More than Meatloaf today? What do they love more than RIP? More than absolutely anything in the fucking world? And what should be at the Royal Rumble? Sami Zayn walking down a corridor. Because you're always walking in WWE.
Yeah.
You actually hear the klaxon, but rather than at Gorilla, Sami Zayn is like, oh, I'm late. He's run down the corridor. They do the high five trick with the SmackDown fist.
Yes. Oof,
just smashes him in the face, and Johnny Knoxville just like, hey, see you out there, Sammy.
Love it. Right, finally, to bring the mood down, what's next for record breaker Aaliyah? She broke record last week and I couldn't have cared less.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you.
Is it time for a game?
I was going to say Natalia attacks her, puts her in the sharpshooter, and we're all supposed to care.
And Natalia's going to be the fastest ever female elimination from the Rumble, isn't she?
Yes, that's what Aaliyah's very getting. Good. I like that.
So
like
instead,
that.
Should we book who she faces tonight, Aaliyah, before the attack from Natalia?
She beat Natalia, was it in
3.17 seconds, if off the top of my head.
3.17 seconds. How? Well, let's see who she's going to face, and then we'll work out how they do it somehow quicker. Okay. So you've got to do it, basically. To beat 3.17 seconds, you've pretty much got to pin them as the bell's ringing?
Yes.
So it goes ding, 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 one,
or
two, three.
Or a fast count.
Oh, fast counts maybe. All right, well, we'll see you the face and we'll arrive at this together.
Okay.
This will be a test of our improvisation.
Don't forget as well, AW means that intergender wrestling is now allowed. So
of course, yeah, thank you.
Tell me when to stop and give me a number between 1 and 4.
I mean, I'm just sorry, I'm thinking about Jeff Jarrett wrapping that guitar and Ali catch his head in GCW. 1. Oh, so, stop, 1.
Cool. So tonight it's Aaliyah versus Michael Cole, is it?
Right. Michael Cole in 3 seconds. I've got it.
Go on.
I've got it. Simple. Really, really simple. Right? Michael Cole, in-ring interview.
Yeah.
With Aaliyah. Saying, we don't normally get to do this, Aaliyah, but tonight's a special night. You're a record breaker. You've beaten Natalya 3.17 seconds. And then, before they can properly conduct the interview, in come the 24/7 goons. Led, of course, by Dana Brooke.
Yep.
Everybody chasing. Reggie.
They don't really do 24/7 stuff on SmackDown, do they?
They don't.
Yeah.
But they've got to get to the fantasy booking of Michael Cole versus Aaliyah, so let me have this one.
I'll absolutely allow it.
In she runs, and there's obviously referees there. They're all crowding around, all that sort of stuff. And the bell hasn't even rung until Aaliyah spots an opportunity and, like, oh, hang on, I need to put the belt on Michael Cole first, don't I? Michael Cole spots an opportunity.
As he does.
Pins Dana Brooke just because.
Chaz Vintage Cole.
And then he was like, right, let's get on with this interview. Oh, he's rolled up. 1, 2, 3. Bang, out of there. Aaliyah escapes, sick on the belt. 3.07 seconds, and we have to book an even faster one next Friday.
God. Well, hopefully we can just distract ourselves with the Royal Rumble go-home show and then Royal Rumble fallout the week after that, and we can forget all this bollocks. But let us know your thoughts ahead of SmackDown tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch that. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Tell me why SmackDown is still worth it. At Michael Hamflett.
And you can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, and make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Got the AEW Rampage preview coming later on today, and WrestleCulture with a hashtag bloody good quiz. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.